Recently, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on politicians or people of authority in the state blocking people on social media. And does that make any difference? Does a decision from the Supreme Court make any difference? In reality, it doesn't. It only takes effect if somebody sues or somebody inside the government says enough is enough and calls out the people that are doing that. Here in Kershaw County, we have Chairwoman Katie Gwynn and Vice Chair Jimmy Jones who have blocked people on social media on their accounts that they have used for political speaking in authority. And as we as Americans lose all our freedom, as the Biden administration and the Trump administration before it, they censor people on social media, they censor people on YouTube, and the government has put pressure on private industries to do as they're told. That's kind of what we're talking about today. The Liberty Report starts now.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kershaw County Liberty Report. I'm your host, Jeff Maddox. And when I was thinking about the Supreme Court ruling on social media, I went in and did a lot of research and started reading their opinions, the decisions, in two particular cases. One involved a city manager who was an employee of the county but had a personal Facebook page in which he rarely posted, he never posted anything of authority. He would post things about upcoming events in the county and those kind of things, but his page was basically personal. And during the Corona lockdowns and all, there was a man that came on, and when the guy posted, you know, we recommend wear a mask and those kind of things, he complained and said, disagreed and said, I disagree with masks. I don't think the county is doing a good job. And the guy blocked him. And that man took this guy through the court system and all, and the Supreme Court eventually ruled that this was his personal page and he can block who he wants. And then in another case, it was a politician, office holder, whose page was clearly in support of him as a politician, of her as a politician. In particular, it was a school board. And as parents were posting and commenting on that school district, that school board member's page, apparently she had gotten upset and blocked the people from commenting. And in that case, the Supreme Court ruled that was a improper for her to block anybody because she was speaking in a position of authority. She had already had many posts advocating for things and all that. In my particular case here in Kershaw County, South Carolina, Chairwoman Katie Gwin has a Facebook page, Chairwoman Katie Gwin, where she advocates positions and different things in the county. And she blocked me for posting comments on her page. So that clearly violates the Supreme Court rulings here. But does that make any difference? A lot of people think that when the Supreme Court rules on something, that everybody stops doing the thing that the Supreme Court rules that you can't do that anymore, which is not true. Because if they want, they can keep going and doing what they're doing, and only if they're challenged in court, only if you have enough money to challenge them in court and beat them in court, will they stop that policy. Now, you would think that if the state was there to protect our rights, and our rights of free speech and number two and number five and all these Bill of Rights, that if somebody in the government would violate those rights, like the First Amendment, and you have sworn an oath to the Constitution, and the Supreme Court has said that it's unconstitutional to block somebody from an official page, then it would seem to me that those people that had sworn that oath would then call it out. In other words, if you've got the members of county council, Republicans and Democrats, all of them swore an oath to the Constitution, would it be logical for us to think that these people should call out any infringement of those rights? Could it be that enemies foreign and domestic means anyone that violates the Constitution? And so as Chairwoman Katie Gwin and Vice Chair Jimmy Jones have violated the Constitution according to the Supreme Court, then you would think that the four other councilmen would bring that to the attention and say, you are violating the First Amendment. Would you immediately restore these people's page, these people's ability to comment, and let them exercise their First Amendment right? But you see, nobody's going to stand up for that. Nobody cares about that. They talk the Constitution. They swear an oath to the Constitution. But they'll follow any order. And they won't get their head above the pulpit, above the parapet, above the trenches. They'll keep their head down so that they don't get shot at. You look at everything around us is collapsing. We have the alphabet agencies playing games over in Ukraine. We've got illegal invasion across the border enabled by whatever all the administrations. We got them flying 320,000 people into the country, free airfare into 41 cities. We've got the education system filled with Common Core and DEI. We've got all these things happening at the same time. We've got banks failing. We've got $34 trillion in debt. We've got $240 trillion in unfunded liabilities. We have Social Security eating, what, $1.6 trillion a year? Medicaid and Medicare, $1.4 trillion. The defense budget, they call it defense. I call it offense. The offense budget, well over $1 trillion. The black budgets, we don't have any idea. We have the alphabet agencies going around the globe creating coups and overthrowing governments and color revolutions and propaganda. And yet nobody seems to notice and nobody seems to care. Sometimes it seems overwhelming. But there's a lot of people that are waking up. The silver lining of the corona-rona is more and more people are waking up to the fact that the government doesn't love you. The government doesn't care about you. The government has been taken over by corporations, multinational corporations, billionaires, Marxists, and a eugenicist. And it's been done over a long period of time. Now we're entering the collapse of an empire, a controlled demolition. You can see it all around you. Look at the empty storefronts. Look at the prices of everything. And everybody thinks that this is by accident. Look at what the Federal Reserve is doing. Look at how much of the economy is just spending by the federal government. Estimates 30 to 40% of the economy is being held up right now by government spending. Look at how many people. Government is the largest employer in the United States, bar none. If you count federal, state, and local government. We're overwhelmed by government. We're government poor. We have 890 bases around the world. An average of $4 billion on each base, each and every year. And we're picking fights with Russia. We're picking fights with China. We're supporting anything and everything that Israel does in Gaza. Mass genocide. All this going on, and our local councils, they just go along with, where's the free money? We can tinker with this, we can tinker with that. But we're mandated by these people, and mandated by those people. And if we don't take the money, who else? Somebody else will get it. Worried about litter. Worried about bicycle paths, greenways, parks, and not worried about overwhelming government. This is no longer, if it ever was, by for the people. We live on a plantation. Look at what people are debating about. We got the group that is opposed to the widening of 521 from Camden to Sumter. And what are they complaining about? They are complaining about the ability of their government, which they support, being able to take property called eminent domain over whatever objection you care. You no longer have private property. Without private property, my friends, you have no rights. You are tenants on a plantation. You're a sharecropper. And now the globalists are culling the herd. That's what the injections were all about. That's what the food is all about. That's what the you'll be happy and you'll be eating bugs is all about. You'll own nothing. Look at what they're doing in the omnibus bill. They've got some $21 million, $41 million for tagging cows. Because they want to know as soon as that cow is born, it's tagged and it's tracked all the way through the process. And in the future, you will not be able to sell a cow unless that cow has an electronic tag. And it also drives the smaller farmers out of business, the smaller cattle people out of business, in favor of the large livestock people, as the livestock industry, the pork industry, the poultry industry, all those are consolidated into bigger and bigger conglomerates, which will then shrink away. Because one thing people don't understand is these globalists don't, they've got all the money in the world. And money shifts. It doesn't disappear. It goes different places. So if they get rid of cows and pigs and chickens, well, they'll invest in something else, like fake meat or fake chicken or highly processed bugs so they can make you some ice cream or a fake ribeye out of crickets and mealworms. These are the things that people don't see. People are too busy on the treadmill, on the hamster wheel, constantly trying just to keep their head above water or to lay back some money for an education for their kids that has gone up 400, 500, 600% in just the last 10 years, well beyond the inflation rate. So why is that? Is the degree worth what it is, what it once was? Is it worth the price now? Look at your medical care. Government regulations, and look at what they did during the corona. They basically forced people into taking these shots. Forced hospitals to put you on ventilators and remdesivir. They control the medical industry. They control the insurance industry. They control all of it through rules and regulations that are paid for by the lobbyists and then the people above that, the multinationals again. So when your county council meets and all, do they discuss any of these things? Do they try to, you know, figure out a way to protect you? Do they give you any legal tender laws? Do they start to bring back some kind of part of private property? Well, if it's like this Kershaw County Council, No, they're going to regulate even more because, oh, we got too many boxes, we got too many houses, and they're too close together and all. So now we're going to go back and we're going to rule and regulate. We're going to change the zoning laws and we're going to tinker around with the market a little bit and everything's going to be fine. They can't pull the blinders off and see the big picture. You know, we got the died suddenly. Died suddenly must be the number one cause of death in America now. How many of you out there know somebody that's died suddenly recently? How many can you count on your fingers? I can count. I know it goes to two hands. What is that all about? Do you ever remember many of these? Maybe every now and then, but all the time. What's up with that? But nobody wants to answer that question. Nobody wants to ask. You watch those things go by. You know, my friend just died. Just up and died, heart attack. Nobody asked a question. You know, did they get the shot? Nobody asked the morticians. You know, you guys are putting that juice in and all. Do you find some coffee grounds in the blood or... Do you find that your blood won't pump out and you know, there's these long, stringy, rubbery things in there? Why aren't the morticians saying anything? Why aren't people asking questions? Why aren't people speaking out? Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you just don't want to know. Maybe you know, but you just don't want to say anything. Could that be the truth? I think in a lot of cases it is. Sadly. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create disaster. Hard times are coming. Are you going to be a strong man? Are you going to be a strong woman? Are you going to fight for your kids? Are you going to fight for freedom and liberty? Those are the questions. I invite all of you, do your homework. Get with others. Talk about these things. Discuss them. And come together. We can overcome this. We can be free. But it takes us all working together. They want us divided. And divided, we will fall. And we are falling. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we all pay attention. Or we will be on a prison planet.
Welcome, RLM listeners, to another edition of the Kershaw County Liberty Report. The craziest things going on this week. We had the attack on the concert hall in Moscow by a bunch of nut job terrorists tied to Ukraine, I do believe, and probably to the alphabet agencies. Anytime they're around, you can count on mischief. Then we have the ship crashing into the Key Bridge in Baltimore, virtually shutting down the whole Baltimore Harbor, one of the main harbors on the East Coast. Just a coincidence, I guess. Nothing to see here, boys and girls. The invasion from the South continues. We get word from Freedom of Information Act request that some 320 or 380,000 illegals have been flown in to 41 different airports across the United States by the Biden administration. And we also have word that they're giving them some sort of legal status where now they can claim sponsorship for their family members to come in legally. And we see the stresses of all this all through society. And it's continuing to get worse and worse and worse. And granted, you probably, most of the people that are coming for reasons of wanting a better life and all. But out of these millions and millions and millions, scattered amongst there, it's got to be some nefarious people, whether it be common criminals or drug pushers or terrorists. Whatever nation they might be coming from. You might have Hezbollah, you might have Chinese, you might have Iranians. You know, the United States has been picking on people, picking on countries for so long now. It's hard for me to believe that these people wouldn't have animosity toward the United States. in particular the United States government, but in a lot of cases, I mean, look at the people over here. They've been propagandized to believe all Russians are, you know, Neanderthals that want to kill all the Americans. Iranians are all crazy jihadists that want to kill all Americans. They hate us for our freedom. You know that routine. But even though we know that's not true, there is a certain percentage of people that are coming in that are certainly have nefarious ideas. Turns out this ship's captain up in Baltimore was from the Middle East. Did that make any difference? I don't know. Is this a terrorist plot? Is this a cyber, you know, these boats are all computer controlled and all. Did somebody hack in? Was this a false flag? Did one of the alphabet agencies do this? I mean, you look over the last few years at the different food packing, food processing centers that have been burnt or destroyed or whatever that are now offline. And you start putting all these pieces together and you see all the stuff going over to Russia and all or Ukraine, you know, we're throwing all our supplies into Ukraine and now into the genocide in Gaza and all. What does that leave us to protect ourselves? You see, recruitment for the armed forces, they can't recruit enough people. You know, and people say, well, it's because these kids are lazy as hell and they don't want to do nothing and they're fat and blah, blah, blah. Well, they've lowered the standards and all that, and they still can't get people to go. Maybe that's not because they're fat and lazy. Maybe it's because they see something wrong and they don't care to be part of it. After the Rona thing and the mandates went through all the military and all, the military's been losing people steadily. The military people are smarting up, getting a little bit smarter. And saying, you know, if they're going to do this to us, to hell with this. Let's get out. And all these forever wars and all have gotten most of these people, they've been overseas 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. And that's not, what is that? That has got to be detrimental to the military forces, to your mental stability. Just think of how many people in the military are on antidepressants and those kind of things. And the mandates just drove everybody out. So I know several people that have retired because they're fed up. They don't want to be a part of it anymore. They look at us like the United States government is the world's leading terrorist organization. And I think they're right. Look at all your local county councils and all. Look at New York City. New York City's bankrupt. They're spending $10,000 a month on all these illegal immigrants. Crime rates are up. All the Democratic sanctuary cities are overrun. But even in the conservative areas, everywhere you look, you see Hispanic labor. It's everywhere. And people talk about, you know, oh, you can't find anybody to work and all this kind of stuff. And but you see, Mexicans and Hondurans and Spanish people working all over the place. Hard working people. But what does that do to society? If society breaks down around you, they have enclaves of Spanish speaking people. And then we have enclaves of black people and enclaves of white people and somewhat mixed, but you see all this. And then you look at the education system, you know, I don't see how anybody can afford a college education. Not the way the prices have been going and all. And then you look at the government indoctrination system, otherwise known as the public education system. And people say it's broken. And I'll tell you this, it's not broken. This is 100 years of public education doing exactly what it was meant to do. It's meant to provide just a smart enough person to do the work, but not smart enough to revolt. They want obedient little workers. Who's going to pay their little slave taxes? And you see that all over the place, that these local governments and all are stretched now because the cost of everything's going up because of the printing of the money and the devaluation of the dollar. And so at every turnaround that you see, the taxes that they want are increasing. And as the value of your property and all goes up, they reappraise the property value and your taxes go up there. So not only do they get you when they pass new taxes, they get you because taxes a lot of times are based on a percentage of what you're spending or what the value of your property is. Look at the price of these vehicles now. You know, the average pickup truck 20 years ago was $25,000 to $30,000. Now you're looking at $50,000 to $100,000. What are the taxes on it? And then you got the everybody's gone to a diesel truck now. All these work people gone to a diesel truck. You know, when I had a diesel truck back in the late 90s and up into the 2000s, diesel was cheaper than gasoline. And right about the time I decided I was going to sell that diesel truck and get me a gas truck, right after that, it flip-flopped. And diesel prices went up higher than gas prices. Now diesel prices are down almost twice what gasoline is. And the government requires you now to have DEF in there, DEF. So you got to add DEF on top of the price of the diesel fuel, making it extremely expensive to ride around in a diesel pickup. Then these diesel pickups, after they've run for a little while and everything, if it hadn't done its regeneration, which it has to run the temperature up in the exhaust, it has to run at an elevated RPM to burn out all the gook that they've sucked into this catalytic converter type unit. And so your fuel mileage goes down even further. So the idiocracy of government rule and regulation and all continues to put pressure on everybody, on society in itself. You look at all this is overwhelming the system. It's Cloward and Piven. The two Marxist professors from Chicago that Mr. Barack Obama's kind of liked. And in that Cloward and Piven, they talked about how to overwhelm the system, overwhelm Social Security, overwhelm Medicaid, overwhelm unemployment, overwhelm the system with migrants and illegal people, overwhelm everything until it breaks. And then you can build it back the way you want it, build back better. Oh, great day, build back better. Where have I heard that before? Well, every world leader around in the Western world had that same little thing, build back better, build back better. That wouldn't have come from the World Economic Forum and Mr. Klaus Schwab and all that, or the Trilateral Commission, or the Council of Foreign Relations or anything, you don't reckon, would it? And then, of course, the climate change people, you know, the Club of Rome and all that, that created this illusion that the world was warming and now it's cooling and now they keep you confused about that. But that's where all the EV push comes from and the solar farms and all. Look at what they're doing with all this solar and all. They're subsidizing it. And then the corporations will go in, man, we can make some money right here. So then they go to your local people, and the local people say, oh, you want a solar panel thing? Well, yeah, that'll give us more taxes, and we'll give you a fee in lieu, and we'll just take that little bit of a fee, and we'll be good to go. So the corporation's making money from the subsidies, from the fee in lieus, and the solar panels are not going to last that long. Just recently, I think it was in Texas, there was a hailstorm, and they got a helicopter and went up and looked, and all this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of solar panels are all smashed and all from the hailstorm. And this is what's going to power the planet. Then you look at EV sales. These EVs aren't selling. Nobody wants the damn things. Number one, you can't go anywhere without charging these things for a couple of hours. You got to drink two cups of coffee and take a piss before you can go back and get in your car and go another 150 miles. Then they're expensive. Then, if you ever have to replace the battery, you might as well throw the damn truck, car, whatever it is, away, because the battery is going to cost more than the vehicle is worth. Then you look at the insurance. Because of these things catching fire and all, insurance companies are starting to say, you know what, I don't think we want to insure these things anymore. Because, man, if they catch fire, it's a total loss. And then we have to replace them, and then it's $80,000 to replace a vehicle, and then it's $40,000 to replace a battery if it goes bad. The stuff doesn't work. Then where do we get all the rare earth elements to go into the batteries in the first place? Well, we get it from Chinese labor or African labor. You know, the Biden administration and all them picking fights with the Chinese. What if they cut that off? Where are you going to get the stuff for a battery? Ain't going to happen. You just see all this stuff going on. And where does it all connect? Well, it connects to making everybody equally poor. It connects to destroying any way for the people to resist or revolt against your owners. That's right. The owners of the plantation, they're getting to the point now that they don't need as many people, and they're getting a little afraid that the people might revolt against them. And So they're getting ready to call the herd. Calling the herd, you know, that's not that hard to do. Because the people, they're too stupid to know what's happening. You just throw the mainstream media up there, the talking head. Oh, the economy's good now. Hey, look, here's the job numbers we made up, but here's the job numbers. And look at the stock market. Look over there at the stock market. S&P 500 now is flying up there. Ain't no worries. Put your money in a 401. Put your money in a bank. Don't worry about it. The banks are good. They're too big to fail. Put them in big banks. Don't put them in little banks. The banks are under tremendous stress right now. And it looks like we're going to have us a little bank run coming up. Not enough. Not enough loans and bad loans. Look at the repossessions. Repos on vehicles is at a, basically a 20-year high since 2010. You know, right after the financial crisis. Look at home sales. They're starting to go down. Look at repossessions. Repossessions of houses. Look at commercial real estate. Commercial real estate's gone to hell in a handbasket. All this, people think, well, it's just coincidence. This has happened before. We've been through recessions. We've been through, you know, back in the 70s, dot-com, 90s, you know, and the great financial crisis, 2008, it'll blow over. Well, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? What if everything you got in the bank, everything you got in your 401, everything you got in any of these retirement funds, what if you're not too big to fail, but they're too big to fail? And what if all that you have is used to bail in the big banks? What would you do? I mean, yeah, you can jump up and down and holler and cry and whine, but you don't ever read those little agreements. You don't read those little details. You don't read your mortgage agreement. You don't read your banking agreement. You don't read your 401 agreement. No. You know what it says? Terms and conditions are subject to change. And if you read about your bank and your 401s, ladies and gentlemen, they're not yours. They're not yours. They're the banks. And if it comes down to it, they'll take it. They give you a haircut. Just like they did in Greece. They did that as a test to see what would happen. The fiat currency system is getting ready to go down, and they need a scapegoat to cover their ass. Wars, invasions, immigration, maybe even civil war. You look at the selection, the clown show. What are they working up towards? Now, everybody knows Sleepy Joe ain't running the joint. Ain't no way in hell that boy can run anything. Some people think Trump was running things when he was president. But that would be naive to think. Trump's the one that gave us the, you know, safe and effective. He's the one that gave us the lockdowns. He's the one that gave us the mask. Oh, no, Anthony Fauci was the one who put him there. Who left him there? Who put all those people in there, Bolton? Nikki Haley. Who put Nikki Haley in there? Oh, well, Trump is, he didn't know. This time he'll know. Right, right. Be careful what you ask for. But in this election, you know, everybody thought, well, it was stolen in 2020. They tried to steal it in 16, but they did it in 2020. Well, maybe so. Every election's been crooked. If voting actually counted, they'd made it illegal a long time ago. Living on the plantation, and the best slave is one who thinks he's free. Do you think you're free? If you think you're free, you're a graduate of the public education system. Yep, you bought into the propaganda. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. I always thought that, you know, I didn't think anything about it. I cried when Lee Greenwood would sing that song. And cry when the airplane flowed over the NASCAR track and they were singing that national anthem. Lord, I cried. I don't do that anymore. I used to do that same thing that every little kid did all his life. Put his hands over the heart and say that old Pledge of Allegiance. Great day, Pledge of Allegiance. Every day. Every morning. I don't do that anymore. What are you pledging allegiance to? You're pledging allegiance to a corrupt government. A mafia masquerading as a benevolent society that loves you. And they don't love you. They could give two shits about you. Any of these politicians don't care about you. They care about themselves. They care about keeping their position. They care about getting rich. They don't care about you. Time we just turned away from them and said no. But that's kind of hard to do when you're scared and you don't know. Scared and you don't know what's actually going on. And you don't want to take the time. Oh, it's too difficult. It's too difficult to... You got all the time in the world and you can do it. I got so many things I got to do. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when the world's going down a shithole and all you got to do is watch the world go around and around. You're too busy. And March Madness basketball's on. And the fish are biting. And the turkeys. Turkey season. All that. So while we're busy living our lives, the politicians, the billionaires, the owners, are all plotting and planning and putting in place the slavery of the plantation. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Building alternatives to their system, changing the minds, changing the propaganda, taking the propaganda that they have been installed into your mind, taking that out is sometimes painful. It was for me. I know others. It was terribly painful. But in the end, that computer, the 6 inches in between your ears, can either be garbage in and garbage out, or truth and knowledge in, so that you're better prepared to defend yourself and prosper in this prison planet. That's just something else to think about. It's a dark world, my friends. A world run by Satan. It's time to turn toward the Lord and see the light. The truth, the life, and the way. Think about when is it time? When is enough enough? For our forefathers, it was in 1776. When will it happen here? It's time for a revolution. A revolution of the minds. Till next time, Jeff Maddox for the Kershaw County Liberty Report. Please come back.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people,
right?
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?